The woman herself seemed unaware of these incursions, as her husband did now. "I'd carry you to the end of the world," Etty said sentimentally, and kissed the tip of her nose. "Unless you put on another 10 pounds or so, that is, then I might have to leave you and look for a lighter lady." She poked him, not gently either, and then turned to Roland. "This is a damn big place once you're down underneath. How are we going to find the door that goes through to Thunderclap?" Roland shook his head. He didn't know. "How about you, Sisko?" Eddie asked Jake. "You're the one who's strong in the touch. Can you use it to find the door we want?" "Maybe if I knew how to start," Jake said, "but I don't." And with that, all three of them again looked at Roland. No, make it four, because even the god's cursed bumbler was staring. Eddie would have made a joke to dispel any discomfort he felt at such a combined stare, and Roland actually fumbled for one. Something about how too many eyes spoiled the pie, maybe? No. That saying, which he'd heard from Susanna, was about cooks and broth. In the end, he simply said, "We'll cast about a little, the way hounds do when they've lost the scent, and see what we find." "Maybe another wheelchair for me to ride in," Susanna said brightly. "This nasty white boy's got his hands all over my purity." Eddie gave her a sincere look. "If it was really pure, hon," he said, "it wouldn't be cracked like it is." 2. It was Oi who actually took over and led them, but not until they returned to the kitchen. The humans were poking about with a kind of aimlessness that Jake found rather unsettling when Oi began to bark out his name, "Ake! Ake! Ake!" They joined the bumbler at a chalked open door that read, "Sea Level." Oi went a little way along the corridor, then looked back over his shoulder, eyes brilliant. When he saw they weren't following, he barked his disappointment.